Shabbat shalom, everyone. We're glad to have you today, and we're thankful for the Lord. So we want to welcome everyone that's watching us live right now. Shabbat shalom to everyone. We pray that everything's working out for everyone. It's a little different than we're used to, but this is what we have to do right now. So I appreciate all of you for coming. So we've been thinking about everything that's been happening and everything that's been going on. And this is not just, again, a localized event. This is worldwide. But how many of you know that Yahweh knows what's happening, and he's our deliverer, he's our fortress? And so today we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about how important it is to understand the goodness of Yah, understand how incredible he is and what he is doing in our lives. And so we want to take some time today to just reflect on what do we need to do as believers? What should we be doing as we look at the situations that's happening and how many people are succumbing to fear, and what should the believer be doing? What's our position? And so we're going to look at that today. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be going to Psalms 91, and we're going to be looking at dwelling in the secret place. I believe today, as I begin to just ponder on these things all week, I was thinking about, you know, what are we doing? And what's our posture? What's the posture of the believer at this time? We should not be grasping for answers. We should have the answer. If we believe that we are serving the Most High, then we should have the answer. So we're going to take some time today just to reflect on these wonderful principles that we see in the Word of God and see what we can draw from Scripture. And we had given this before. We asked people, you know, if you want to encourage yourself, go read Psalms 91 because it's an encouraging chapter. But sometimes maybe we don't go read or we don't do it. So today we're gonna make sure that we look at it today and see the things that God has in his word. So Psalms 91, we'll start there and we'll talk about how important it is for us as believers at this time. And many different thoughts, there are many different ideas, but we're not following our thoughts and our ideas. We want to follow what Yeshua has taught us in the Scripture. And we see it throughout the Scripture, the things that he desires of us, and we want to just take some time to reflect on those things. This is not a time to be discouraged, but encouraged. But it is a time to make sure that we do everything that we're supposed to do as believers to get ourselves ready and prep ourselves what we need to be doing. There's a lot of things that you're doing different now. And it's you question those things. But as believers serving the Most High, what are we doing to make sure that we're doing everything that he requires of us? We're going to see that together. In Psalms 91, starting with verse number 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, that's a lot of stuff said right there. That's a powerful verse. He who dwells in the secret place. So we're going to deal with the secret place a little bit, but I want to talk about the Most High. He's not just high. He's the Most High. And remember that. That's the one we serve. We serve the Most High. So you're not going to find anybody that's higher than he is. So that just lets us understand right off at the beginning of this chapter, we're not dealing with anybody. We're dealing with the Most High. And so he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. One of the things that I think is important for us to understand that there's some qualifications right here in the first one. Number one, we have to dwell in a secret place. What is that? What does it look like? We're going to talk about that in a little bit. Of the Most High, recognizing that there's no other. How many understand there's no other? And who abides in the shadow of the Almighty. So he's described as Most High and the Almighty. Almighty. There's nothing he lacks that he can't do for you at this time. Not one thing that he lacks that he can't do for you and sustain you at this time. Nothing at all that he lacks. He's Almighty. And the important thing here to understand about the Most High, we find in Psalms 47, verse number 2. In Psalms 47, it says, "For Yah Most High is awesome." What is he? Awesome. "A great sovereign over all the earth." So this is not a shock to God. I mean, understand that. This is not shocking God. And he says, oh, what's going on? He's sovereign over all the earth. He knows exactly what's happening. And so, again, we get a chance to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And that's what we find here in Psalms 83, verse 18. And let them know that you, whose name is Yah, you alone are the Most High over all the earth. Again, we find that passage that's given us an indication that we're dealing with the Most High, and he is sovereign over all the earth. In Psalms 92, verse number 1, it says, it is good to give thanks to Yah and to sing praise to your name, O Most High. How many see that? Over and over again, we have verses that bring us encouragement. Because remember, when you're up against a crisis or a situation and there's uncertainty in that situation, you got to know who you're standing with. You got to know that. You got to be confident that you're standing with the Most High. And he's the one on your side. Listen, if you were playing in any type of sports or you were in a fight and you knew that the Most High was on your side, you're not going to get in there in fear of losing. You're not going to fear because the one that's on your side is the Most High or the best. And that's what we have to be encouraged by today. Again, in Psalms 92, verse 1, it is good to give thanks to Yah and to sing praise to your name, O Most High. Psalms 97, verse 9. For you, Yah, are Most High over all the earth. You're Most High over all the earth. You shall be greatly exalted over all mighty ones. There is no other God that can compare to the one that you serve today. And that ought to be encouraging to you. So when you start looking at all the stuff that's happening and all the deaths that's happening, and your heart goes out. I was up this morning early just praying for people they're in it. Their feeling is close to home for them. They have lost loved ones and all that, and so it makes you think about it a little bit. So you had to give up some comforts, and you have to be separated for a little bit, and you change how you do your services. And that's just, but when you think about a person who's lost somebody, to comfort them is we got to be able to be in a position as the church to introduce them to the Most High, the one who has got all of this, and he understands what's going on. For you, Yah, are Most High over all the earth. You shall be greatly exalted over all mighty ones. And we should be exalting him over all mighty ones. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, it says, therefore, as you accept Messiah, Yeshua, the Master, walk in him. Very important scripture. It's not just belief in him. Well, I believe in Jesus, but do you do what he does? Do you do what when he asks you to do something, do you do what he says? We have to walk in him. We have to walk it out every single day. In verse number 7 of Colossians 2, having been rooted and built up in him and established in the belief. So person comes to know Christ, they believe in him, and they're starting to go to church or what have you, and then it gets a circumstance comes their way. That's when you have to be established and rooted and built in him. In the belief, as you were taught, overflowing in it with thanksgiving. So it can't just be enough. You know, sometimes we're going along in life and there's nothing going on. We don't see anything. And then we're just participating in all the activities, whatever we like to do. That's what we do. Even as believers, we build a circle of things we like, and we kind of run in those circles. But then all of a sudden, you get a situation like this, and it changes and interrupts all the circles. All the things we like, it just shuts down. And then what are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be making sure that we have been rooted and built up in him, establishing the belief as you were taught, overflowing with thanksgiving. Very important that that's happening in our life. Valuable for us to make sure we build that solid relationship. And verse number 8 says, see to it that no one make a prey of you through philosophy and empty deceit. This is what religion does. It makes an open prey of you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the elementary matters of the world, and not according to Messiah. So we have something that establishes us in the faith, and that's following our Messiah. We know that Christ has established the rights for us, and we do what he does. We say what he says. We act the way he acts. Very important for us to and this is a great time to be a challenge. You're challenging yourself. So what we're looking at here is we're seeing how important it is to understand the Most High. Verse number 9, because in him dwells all the completeness of Elohimness bodily. There's nothing that he lacks from Elohim, not one thing. It is expressed in him. And you have been made complete in him who is the head of all principality and authorities. So we have been made complete in him. Once we come to Christ, this is our goal. There's a goal that's set. We don't just know him. We get introduced to him, and now we got everything. You have to work at being a believer. You have to work at it hard. And this is the time that you really check, you get a good check on what. Because if fear comes, then maybe there was something that we lacked, that we talked about being a believer, but we really wasn't fully committed to him, because now we succumb to fear. We shouldn't have any fear. We should realize what's happened for us. Those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High. That's who we're dealing with. The Most High. Verse number 10. And you have been made complete in him who is the head of all principalities and authorities. So understand how important this is. We're complete in him who is head over all principalities. And this sickness, this disease, all disease. There have been many diseases before this coronavirus. This is not something that, it's just a new disease that has come. But we shouldn't be shocked by it, because we are complete in him, and he is head over all principalities and authorities. There's not one thing that he's not in control of or head of. We're talking about the one who died for our sins, who gave his life for us, shed his blood. We've been covered by his blood. Our sins have been forgiven. We're talking about Yeshua, the Master. He is head over all of it. Verse 11, in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands, in the putting off of the body of sin of the flesh by the circumcision of Messiah. So what he had done to him, it was given to us. How many thank God for that? We ought to be so thankful that what he paid for at the cross is what's going to keep us today. What he paid for, the suffering that he suffered is what's going to keep us today. He said, in this world, you're going to have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Why? Because we're complete, because he has power over all principalities and authorities. And let me tell you, let's not mistake it. Whatever's going on in the world today is controlled by principalities and powers. And God is letting us know that we are following Yeshua, who is head over all of those things. And having been buried with him in immersion, in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through the belief in the working of Elohim, who raised him from the dead. And that should be encouraging to us, because he raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. How many trespasses? All. In verse 14, having blotted out that which was written by hand against us, by the dogmas which stood against us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the stake. He nailed it to the cross, because the first covenant, which we broke that covenant, that marriage arrangement that we had, we had committed spiritual adultery on God, and that we were bound by that. Certain death for all of humanity. But we have a new covenant, in which Christ paid for, and so he the handwritten ordinance that was against us, he nailed it to the cross. It no longer stands against us. Having stripped the principalities and authorities, what did he do? He stripped principalities and authorities. He made a public display of them, having prevailed over them in it. This is powerful, and it should be encouragement to all of us, because we're dealing with this one chapter in Psalms that talks about dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. Not just high, he's the Most High. And let's be encouraged by that. Romans chapter 8, verse 18 says this, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worth comparing with the esteem that is to be revealed in us. For the intense longing of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of Elohim. For the creation was subject to futility, not from choice, but because of him who subjected it in anticipation, that the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage to corruption unto the esteemed freedom of the children of Elohim. For we know that all creation groans together and suffers the pain of childbirth together until now. And not only so, but even we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we also groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For in this expectation we were saved, but expectation that is seen is not expectation. For when anyone sees, does he expect it? If we expect what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with endurance. In the same way, the Spirit does help our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray, but the Spirit himself pleads our case for us with groanings unutterably. And he who searches the heart knows the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the set apart ones according to Elohim. And we know that all matters work together for good to those who love Elohim and to those who are called according to his purpose. Because those who he knew beforehand, he also ordained beforehand to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, for him to be the firstborn among many brothers. And whom he ordained beforehand, these he also called, and whom he called, these he also declared right. And who he declared right, these he also esteemed. What then shall we say to this? If Elohim is for us, who is against us? Very important. If Elohim is for us, who is against us? Remember, we're talking about the Most High. If he's for us, who is against us? Truly, he who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up on behalf of us all, how shall he not, along with him, freely give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against Elohim's chosen one? It is Elohim who is declaring right. Who is he who is condemning? It is Messiah who died, and furthermore, is also raised up, who is also at the right hand of Elohim, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Messiah? Shall pressure, or distress, or persecution, or scarcity of food, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sakes we are killed all day long. We are reckoned as sheep of the slaughter. But in all this we are more than overcomers through him who loved us. So you ought to see yourself as more than an overcomer. You're not defeated. We're not living an uncertain day. Just say, well, these days that are coming, they're uncertain. What am I going to do, or how am I going to respond to it? They're not uncertain. We serve the Most High, and that's important for us. We're more than conquerors, for I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor messenger, nor principalities, nor powers, neither the present, nor the future, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Elohim, which is in Messiah Yeshua, our Master. Valuable and important. Again, those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And remember, the Almighty, what a great shadow he must cast. He can cast a great shadow that all of us can get. We can kind of hide ourselves in the shadow of the Almighty. So when, as a believer, when people are looking for answers, they should see us just sitting in the shadow of the Most High. That's what our goal should be, and that's what we should be praying. So remember, the secret place, we're going to talk about that. The secret place is a place of prayer. And that should be the posture of the church today. We should be praying more. So if you're looking at your life and you look at the time that you prayed and the hours you prayed or whatever your prayer life is, and you're not doing more of it now, you're missing this whole thing. What are we to learn from it? What is God trying to teach us? It's a place of prayer. The secret place is a place of prayer. In verse Matthew 6:6, it says, But when you pray, go into your room and having shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. Where is he at? He's in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret shall reward you openly. So this is what we're dealing with. You can't say I'm in the secret place if you're not praying. Because prayer is the thing that gets you there. It's how you enter the secret place. It's through prayer. So if you're not praying more, you're not getting in the secret place. So you can't take this chapter and say, I'm good, God's got me covered. Those who dwell, the word is not, it's not visit. He don't say those who visit the secret place, those who dwell. To dwell in the secret place means that's your spot, that's your home now. And think about it. We got all kind of time to do it. Most people are not even working right now. You have all sorts of time. You don't have the things to go to. You don't have the games to go to. None of that. You don't have to go. So you've been really put in a position to do something and make a difference. And it should be dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. Dwelling in the secret place. And remember, the secret place has to do with prayer. You're not in the secret place if you're not praying. Mark chapter 1, verse 35, and having risen very early in the morning. This is Yeshua. Now think about it. We want to understand and live the way he lived. This is how he lived. Mark 1, 35, and having risen very early in the morning while still dark, he went out and went away to a lonely place, and there he prayed. He went to a lonely place, and there he prayed. Sometimes the secret place is not a place where there's a lot of stuff going on. It's a secret place. It's a place that you get, you know, it's like this. Think about it. When you were kids, sometimes you would find a spot. Maybe boys would go out and maybe walk in the weeds or the woods close to their house, and they'd find a little spot, and they would get in, and they just felt, man, this is my spot. I found me a little spot, a hiding spot. Maybe when you were kids, you were playing in the house and you found like a little cupboard. You would sneak in there and get in there. And you felt in that spot right there, nobody could get you. Nobody could find you. And that's what we have to think in those terms. Where's that spot that you have? Or when's the last time you even looked for that spot? So we have a great opportunity to get in a spot, the secret place of the Most High. In James chapter 4, it talks about something in verse number 8. It says, draw near to Elohim and he shall draw near to you. Cleanse hands, sinners, and cleanse the heart, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to dejection. Now that's sort of where we're at right here. So we have to lament and mourn and weep and let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to dejection. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Master, and he shall lift you up. What's God wanting to do in our life today through all of this? No matter how long it takes, it doesn't matter how long. I know we're watching the news constantly, and we're trying to figure out when they're going to, maybe by Easter, they're talking. It doesn't matter how long. What matters is, are we doing what we should do at this time? And that's getting in the secret place. That prayer brings you to the secret place. There you are, and you're not in any secret place. You're in the secret place of the Most High. So he says, humble yourself in the sight of the Master, and he shall do what? Lift you up. So another thing that prayer does, it shows your humility and your willingness to fall on your face before God and say, Lord, I need you more than ever. Sometimes when we've been serving God for a while, we kind of got this attitude where I'm good. As long as you're alive and you're living, you always need him. Every day, every moment, you need him. Never think, well, I'm good. You always need him. You have to find a place of prayer. In verse number 11, it says, brothers, do not speak against one another. Now, this is an issue that you have all the time. This happens all the time. These are believers. These are believers, and James, a pastor here, and he's dealing with his church. And listen what he says, brothers, do not speak against one another. You know why he had to say that? Because what does brothers do? Speak against one another. He that speaks against a brother and judges his brother speaks against Torah and judges Torah. So notice what he says. He that speaks against his brother speaks against Torah and judges Torah. And if you judge Torah, you are not a doer of the Torah, but a judge. In verse number 12, there is one lawgiver and judge. How many know who that is? There's one lawgiver and judge, and that's the Most High. Again, remember that. And that's the one, the secret place we're trying to get in, the secret place of the Most High. There's one lawgiver and judge who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? Come now, verse 13, you who say today or tomorrow, let us go to such and such a city and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. When you do not know of tomorrow. That's a little boasting there. That's a little proud to think that you could speak in those terms. Very important to look at. For what is your life? It is a vapor that appears for a little and then disappears. Instead of you saying, if the master desires, we will live and do this or that. And that should be what our prayer is. If the master desires, he knows my name. He knows, you know, that was a powerful thing Pastor Josh sent out this week. And it's just a little song. He knows my name. He knows everything about us. He cares about what's going on in our life. When I put it on, I had a moment there where I was thinking, just thanking God for him being so incredible and so mindful of us. And he just wants us to see this. This is not a time to question your faith. It's a time to strengthen your faith. This is a time to be strong in the Lord and what he's done. Instead of you saying, if the master desires, we will live and do this or that. But now you boast in your proud speeches. All such boasting is wicked. What does he call it? He says it's wicked. To him then who knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. How many see that? To him that knows to do good. So not doing what you know to do, which is good, to know to do good, and you don't do it, is sin. Because we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. That's not our battle. Our battle is not our brothers. It's not one another. But against principalities, against authorities, against the ruler, the world rulers of the darkness of this age in which we're in right now, against spiritual matters of wickedness in the heavenlies. And I can tell you that God didn't author this virus, but the rulers of this world has authored the virus. But how many know God can control the virus? God can protect you from the virus, but you have to make sure we get in that place with him. So hopefully we understand verse 1. Those who dwell not visit, but dwell in the secret place. What's the secret place? It's a place of prayer. Those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I'm so thankful that we could be in his shadow. How many know we want to be in his shadow? And so we have what we have an elder brother, Yeshua, our Messiah, who went before us. He went before us and he prepared the way. And so we're not just coming on the scene and trying to figure it out. We have someone to look to follow, and just do what he did. So we're not trying to make our own path here. And that's what we have. That's what religion teaches you. Build your own path. There are many different paths. A path for you, a path for me, a path for everybody. Yeshua said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. There are not many. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And so we're going to follow our elder brother, Yeshua, the path that he made for all of us. In Psalms 91, verse number 2. And he is saying of Yah, my refuge and my stronghold, my Elohim in whom I trust. What is he saying of him? He's saying of Yah, my refuge, my stronghold, my Elohim in whom I trust. In Psalms 23, and this is the thing that I want you to notice in 91 verse 2. He is saying. Who's the he saying? The one who dwells in the secret place of the Most High and abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He is saying. And so sometimes you got to change your speech. Sometimes we parrot or we'll say the very thing that we hear whatever saying. If we inundate ourselves with the news media and it's all negative, we start having a negative speech. We're talking about doom and gloom. We don't know what we're going to do, how we're going to pay our bills, how we're going to eat and all this stuff. I hope I don't get it and all this stuff. It's our conversation. But the one who dwells in a secret place, he says of Yah, my refuge, my. You got to put yourself there. He's my refuge and my stronghold and my Elohim in whom I trust. That should be our prayer. So you wake up and you say, God, I thank you for another day. But you got to insert yourself there. Is he doing this for you? Do you believe he's doing it for you? If you can't believe he's doing it for you, it's going to be hard for you to believe he can do it for anybody else. And so we have another Psalms 23, verse number 1. Listen how this, and we're going to insert, we're going to emphasize the things that we need to emphasize when we pray this prayer here. Yah is my shepherd, I do not lack. I do not lack. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He turns back my being. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You spread before me a table in the face of my enemy. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup runs over. How many see how important it is to emphasize the part that you insert yourself? This is, you make it personal. My cup runs over. Only goodness and loving commitment follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of Yah to the length of days. And that's so important to understand. So I just wanted to share that with you, how valuable it is. Let's look at verse number 3 of Psalms 91. For he delivers you from the snare of the trapper, from the destructive pestilence. For he delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the destructive pestilence. Let me just tell you, if you think the enemy is not out to get you, you are not aware of what's going on around you. I don't care what church you go to or it doesn't matter how long you've been going. The trapper's out to get you. The snare of the fowler's been set against you. But he delivers you from the snare of the trapper. When you're doing what? Dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. You're not just in any place. You're in the secret place of the Most High. And you're dwelling there. You're not visiting. You're making your abode there. Very important. So Psalms 34 verse 19 says, many or the evils of the righteous, but Yah delivers him out of them all. Many are the evils of the righteous one. There are many people that have served God in the past, before us, that they had many circumstances and situations. They lived through many attacks from the enemy. And so we have to live through the attacks that we're under. There's no time to be given up. It's a time to strengthen our hand in the Lord. Strengthen your faith in the Lord. Dwell in the secret place. That's the key. To get through all of that's going to happen, it doesn't make a difference if you know how long it's going to take. It doesn't matter. So if it takes 2 more weeks, 3 more weeks, or if it goes on for 6 months, does that matter? It doesn't change who the Most High is. And nothing can stop you from getting in the secret place of the Most High and abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. When you get there, it changes everything about you, and you'll get strong in the Lord. So remember what it says. Many are the evils of the righteous, but Yah delivers him out of them all. John 16:33 says, these words I have spoken to you. These words I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world, you have pressure, but take courage. I've overcome the world. How many know that people's under the pressure right now? You're even under the pressure. The believers, we're under the pressure. It don't mean you get saved, you're not going to feel the pressure. You're going to feel the pressure, but you know how to deal with pressure. And the way we deal with pressure, we're following the one who overcome the pressure already. He showed us exactly what to do. And if we follow what he did, what does that mean? You're going to overcome the pressure. You're not going to get something less. You're going to overcome the pressure that he was able to overcome. In 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 10. But you did closely follow my teaching, the way of life, the purpose, the belief, the patience, the love, the endurance, the persecution, the suffering, which came to me at Antioch, in Iconium, in Lystra. What persecutions I bore, yet out of them all the Master delivered me. Notice that. What did he say to Timothy? He said, out of them all. And you recognize, I went through all of these things. He said, I know how I went through when it was good, everything was fine. The way of life, the purpose, the belief, the patience, the love, the endurance. Then he goes, the persecution, the suffering which came to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecution I bore. Yet out of them all the Master delivered me. I mean, you know, that the Master wants to deliver us out of no matter what it is we go through. It doesn't matter. And so some days you might be short or whatever. It doesn't matter. See, when you have what you need and you were the one provided for that need, sometimes you don't feel it yet. But when you get squeezed, then you have to question, what do I do? Remember, what did he deliver? He delivered me out of them all. And that's important. In Psalms 91, verse 4, let's look at the fourth verse. He covers you with his feathers, and under his wings you take refuge. His truth is a shield and armor. What does he do? So we're talking about this Most High. We're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, abiding under the shadows of the Almighty. So he covers you with his feathers, and under his wings you take refuge. His truth is a shield and armor. How important it is to have truth. His truth is a shield and armor. You don't want to be dealing with uncertainty. I'm not sure. This is not a time for I'm not sure. Truth is very important. So you have to be encouraged that you desire the truth of the Word of God. And look at in Matthew 23:37. This is what Yeshua said. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, killing the prophets and stoning those who are sent to her. How often I wish to gather your children together the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not. See, your house is left to you laid waste. And he's talking about Jeremiah 22:5 there. Your house is laid waste because you would not. I wanted to, but you didn't want my protection. So some people's going to get bitter through all of this. There'll be church folk get bitter through all of this. Because I'm trying to serve God and look what we're having to go through. So we don't understand that not only do we enjoy the wonderful things, the blessings, but also the sufferings of Christ. We're buried with him. Remember, we go through the immersion. The death happens. We get buried with him, but then we rise again also. Verse 39 of Matthew 23, for I say to you, from now on, you shall by no means see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of Yah. And that's Psalms 118, verse 26. So we see that Yeshua himself makes a reference to what the Father made a reference to. He says that he wanted to cover us with his feathers. And sometimes it's hard to get that. If you live in a city or something, it's hard to kind of imagine that. But if you live out in the country, folks have chickens. We have chickens at the house. And when Phil first got the chickens, he would let the hens set, and they would have the chicks. And you could go outside and witness this. So we had a problem with these hawks. And sometimes you'd be out there, and she would fluff herself up, and they knew exactly what to do. What they would do, they'd run under her wings, because she knew the danger was there. They didn't have no idea, but they knew that if I can get underneath the feathers, I can have some protection. I can be protected. And that's what he says in Psalms. He's telling us that. He says, he covers you with his feathers, and under his wings you take refuge. His truth is a shield and armor. Remember, how do I get the access to that? Those who dwell, not visit, dwell, make your abode in the secret place, that's a place of prayer, of the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And so we see in that. Ephesians chapter 6 kind of takes it a little bit further for us. Because of this, take up the complete armor of Elohim so that you have power to withstand in the wicked day. And having done all to stand, stand then having girded your waist with truth. What do we need right off the bat? Truth. It's important. Remember, in his secret place, there's a shield and an armor. It's the shield and armor. So how many know we're trying to do everything to protect ourselves right now? You know, they say you have to have social distancing. We're in small groups. Obviously, there's people in different homes right now looking at us live. So we're trying to be wise and do everything God asked of us to do, that we obey the rules that have been set forth and not be foolish in this. So we're wanting the protection. So they're saying that to protect yourself, you're washing your hands, you're doing all those things. So you can abide by all those rules. You can follow those rules, and you still need to be protected by the armor and the shield of the Most High. Because that's you doing your part, but beyond your part, we dwell in the secret place of the Most High. That's the part of being human. We want to participate and do everything that we were asked to do, but beyond that, and that's what being a believer does, serving the Most High, following Yeshua as our master, we have been given access to information for protection, and that protection comes from what we do when we follow his word. It says, stand and having your girded your waist with truth, and that's Isaiah 11:5, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, Isaiah 59:17, and having fit your feet with the preparation of the good news of peace, Isaiah 52:7. Above all, having taken up the shield of belief with which you shall have the power to quench all the burning arrows of the wicked one. Take also the helmet of deliverance and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of Elohim. And here's very important. You ready for this? Praying all at all times with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching in all perseverance and supplication for the set apart ones, for all the set apart ones. So when you get in this secret place, are you just praying for yourself? No. You're not in the secret place just to pray for yourself, but you have to get in that spot in order to be an impact to other people. For other people. There's a lot of brothers and sisters all over the world that's being affected by this. And we pray that people will hear this, listen to it, and be careful. Listen, this is no shock to God. We have the information we need in order to survive. Just like we watch the news and we're all heeding the news, they're giving information out. The CDC gives information out. We're trying to follow it. The governors usually match what the CDC says, and they say we need to, you know, to the whole crippling of the economy. This is serious to the world. But here we are following those methods. It would be foolish for believers to not follow the methods sent forth by the Word of God. If you're going to follow the method that's been sent forth by the CDC, the President of the United States, or your governor, then it would be foolish for believers not to follow the method that God has given. And this is the method. I'm giving you what he said we ought to do at this time. Praying at all times with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching in all perseverance and supplication for all the set apart ones. This is the job that he's been set forth for. So this is, if you're trying to figure out what am I going to do now, I got nothing to do because I can't really go visit. I can't go, the kids aren't in school. I can't go to work. What am I going to do? I'm sharing with you what we should be doing. We should be dwelling in the secret place of the Most High and abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say, You got to say that you got to put your name there. I'm protected. He's watching over me. And you're praying for other people that don't know this. You're praying for their understanding. As I was praying this morning, Lord, I said, I'm asking you that this information will get to the hearers. People will hear it and they can do it for themselves. They'll come to know Christ and understand it for themselves. Psalms 91, verse number 5. We'll take 5 and 6 here. You are not afraid of the dread by day or the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walk in darkness, of the destruction that ravages at midday. So what you find here, there's a few things happening here with these verses. And let's go to verse 7 too. 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it does not come nigh you. How do you get this working for you? Dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Remember that. That's how it works for you. Then you're abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. And very important, because he covers some interesting things here. It doesn't make a difference what time of the day or when this event happens. Do not be afraid. Do not fear of the dread by night. What does the dread by night mean? The fear of uncertainty. It's at night. You could be in your house, sound asleep, and all of a sudden you hear something outside. Don't fear that. That's the dread by night. It's fear of uncertainty. And that's happening across the world today. The fear of uncertainty. What if this happens? What if that happens? What if the economy crashes? It's a fear of uncertainty. Are we supposed to fear that? We're not to be afraid of anything. We should have no fear. We should put our trust in the Most High and just dwell in the shadow of the Almighty. So it doesn't matter if it's morning, noon, or night, basically what he's saying here in the scripture, of the pestilence that walk in darkness. It doesn't matter what type of virus it is, what type of sickness. This is not the first virus that's ever come against the world. There's been pandemics that has come there's been many times it's happened over the years, and many thousands of people have died. And let me tell you, we'll succumb to this if we don't do what God has directed us in. We have been handed the information simply by taking this one chapter. He's given us the information. If you want to protect you and your family and yours and help with the protection of other people, that's why they say social distance, not just to protect you, but it's to protect other people, the other people that are vulnerable. You never know. So that's what they're asking us to do. So we're participating in that. But he's also, God is asking us to do something. What is he asking us to do? He said it doesn't make a difference. If you follow this, you're going to be helping others, not only yourself. 1,000 falls at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it does not come near you. And so Isaiah 41 verse 10 says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not look around, for I am your Elohim. If you want the answer comes by finding out who your God is. Know who your God is. I shall fortify you. Who's going to fortify us? The Most High. I shall fortify you. I shall also help you. I shall also uphold you with my right hand, the right hand of my righteousness. Now, the right hand is power. It's always power. So Christ is seated at the what of the Father? The right hand of the Father. Because there's not a higher place that he can be seated than the right hand of the Father. He's been seated at the highest spot that he could be seated. So he's telling us, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not look around, for I am your Elohim. I shall fortify you. I shall help you. I shall also uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Verse 11, see all those who rage against you are ashamed and blush. They are as non-existent. And the men who strive with you perish. Think about that. The men who strive with you perish. He's just giving us some encouraging words here. You seek them, but do not find them. Those who struggle with you, those who fight you, are as non-existent as naught. For I, Yah, your Elohim, am strengthening your right hand, saying to you, do not fear, I shall help you. So what is he strengthening? Our right hand. He's strengthening the power source. And he said this, he told him in Acts, he said, go into Jerusalem, because you're going to be endued with power from on high. And the set apart spirit is what gives you the desire to and a want to obey. That's important. And I said to you, you know, before we had to do our services like this, I said to the church, very important. We just got finished with Purim. And I said, very important is you better seek the set apart spirit. Seek that power and that anointing that comes with it, because it'll change your life. You're going to need it in days to come. And here we are. Psalms 91, verse 8. Only with your eyes you look on and see the reward of the wrong ones. Remember, 1,000 falls at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come nigh you. It don't matter what disease you want to call it, it won't come nigh you. Only with your eyes shall you look on and see the reward of the wrong ones. In Deuteronomy 28, verse number 1, and it shall be if you diligently obey the voice of Yah, your Elohim, to guard, to do all his commands, which I command you today, that Yah, your Elohim, shall set you high above all nations of the earth. He shall set you high above all nations of the earth. Now notice what he's saying. There's some things we have to do in order for it to kick in. Deuteronomy 28, verse number 2. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of Yah, your Elohim. How many of you know that he's talking about blessings coming on you? If we obey, we get rewarded. What is a blessing? It's a reward from being obedient. What's a blessing? A reward from being obedient. And how many of you know we want to be obedient to the Lord today? So he talks about this. All these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of Yah, your Elohim. And he's going to tell us about these blessings. Blessed are you in the city. Blessed are you in the field. Blessed is the fruit of your body and the fruit of your ground and the fruit of your livestock, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed is your basket and blessed is your kneading bowl. Blessed are you when you come in, and blessed are you when you go out. Yah causes your enemy to rise against you, to be smitten before your face. They come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. Yah commands the blessings on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand, and shall bless you in the land which Yah, your Elohim, has given you. Yah does establish you as a set apart people to him, and he has sworn to you, if you guard the commands of Yah, your Elohim, to walk in his ways, all peoples of the earth shall see that the name of Yah is called upon, and they shall be afraid of you. How are all peoples going to see? If we don't do our part. Great time right now. There's never been a better time for the church than right now. It's not a time for the church to say, we shouldn't have to social distance. We're the church. That's not the position we should take. We should be doing everything we can to obey the laws that's been set forth to us. They don't go against the things of God. We're still able to assemble ourselves where two or three are gathered in his name. He's in the midst. So it don't take a crowd. It just takes some people. It takes small groups of people everywhere. But here's what you got to do. It's not gathering so we can see each other. And that's what church has become a lot of times, just social gathering. We gather just to say hi and everything. But we ought to be learning. We ought to be learning what to do, how to do it. And we should be getting in the secret place of the Most High. So this is not about big groups. If it would have been about that, then God would have protected that portion of it. But everybody was affected by separation. It's about individual people learning how to get in the secret place. Very important. And if we don't learn this lesson through this, then I just think this whole thing will come and go and people will still be the same way. We have to learn the lesson that has been issued out for us to learn. And all people of the earth shall see that the name of Yah is called, upon, and they shall be afraid. So what should we be doing? Calling upon the name of Yah. That's our posture. That's what we should be doing. Somebody says, how y'all doing? Man, we're praying more than we ever prayed before. If you don't open with that line, then I don't know what we're learning here. I'm praying more than I ever prayed before. I'm understanding what it means to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. I understand now. I'm reading all of these wonderful things that have benefit. You want rewards for being obedient? They come in blessings. They are, and he's telling us all about them. And Yah shall make you to have plenty of what is good and the fruit of your body. So not only for you, but the fruit of your body is your children. Everybody say, my children are protected. This is the stuff you got to know. You got to read this stuff. They're protected. The fruit of your body and the fruit of your livestock, your business is protected. It's protected. In the fruit of your ground, in the land of which Yah swore to your fathers to give you. And Yah opened to you his good treasures in heavens to give the rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand. And you shall lend to many nations, but do not borrow. And Yah shall make you the head and not the tail. And you shall be only on top and not beneath. If you obey the commands of Yah Elohim, which I command you today to guard and do. And do not turn aside from any of the words which I'm commanding you today to the right or left, to go after other mighty ones to serve them. I mean, you see that. He's clearly giving us direction. You got to keep your focus on the Most High. Yes. If you say in the Most High, are you looking for somebody else? We shouldn't be looking for nothing else. He's the Most High. So, verse number 9, Psalms 91, verse 9. Because you have made Yah my refuge, the Most High. There it is again. So he's emphasizing it again from verse 1, now to verse 9. Your dwelling place, not visiting place, but your dwelling place. This is this. Why, if something's going on in my life that I don't understand, where am I going? The secret place. And you know what? Maybe for the most part, the church has lost that. Maybe we would call somebody, I need to call the pastor, I need to call somebody, and we'll call them and we'll tell them all our problems, and we do that about 3 or 4 times with different people, and then we go try to pray. Your first go-to should be the secret place. Before you call anybody, you should be going to the secret place, calling upon the name of the Most High, because you have made Yah your refuge, the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil befalls you. No evil befalls you. And a plague does not come near your tent. A plague does not come near your tent. Why? Because you have made Yah, my refuge, the Most High, your dwelling place. So you're not just going to do a one-time prayer. This thing happens, and that's what you see. 9/11, when 9/11 hit, that's the only thing we can, in the United States, that we can compare what's going on now, kind of close as 9/11, but it happened in one state, and it was very strategic, one spot. The churches, what happened? They filled up. The first week after, people were going to church. A month later, it was less. 2 months later, 3 months later, it was like non-existent. Because it's the situation at the time, and your emotions drive you to God. It's not a heart change. It's no repentance involved. This time is a time for repentance. It's a time to dwell in the secret place. Because let me tell you, when you get in the secret place, what happens? You start automatically having this need of transparency. When the closer you get, you're transparent. You want to open up your life to the Lord and say, God, there's things that I've not dealt with, and I'm dealing with them today. Today it's over with. Today I'm going to be free to live for you and love you and worship you the way you want me to. This is the things we should be learning. Very important that we think about these things. He says, when you do that, no evil shall befall you, and the plague does not come near your tent. For he commands his messengers concerning you to guard you in all your ways. He commands his angels.
Yes, thank you.
Well, let's look at that for a little bit. In 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15, and the servant of the man of Elohim rose early and went out and saw an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, oh, my master, what do we do? And he answered, do not fear. For those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Let me just tell you that. those who are with us and all this crisis we're in, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Yah, I pray, open his eyes and let him see. And Yah opened the eyes of the young man, and he looked and saw the mountain covered with horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And that's my prayer today. Because we also our commission, go you into all the world and preach the gospel. That don't end because you got a virus and the country shut down. That don't end. We still been commissioned. So we should be praying, Lord, open the eyes of the servants that are out there. Open the eyes so they see that they're more with us than against us. It may seem like all hell came against people, and they're struggling trying to cope with this stuff that's going on. And we're just getting into it. In the next couple weeks, it's going to be tough for people. And we're going to have to, listen, that's why we're talking about this today. You dwell in the secret place of the Most High, it doesn't matter how long it lasts. It doesn't matter. What matters is you get a hold to this, and your Most High will tend to everything that you have going on. And so Elisha prayed that the eyes of the servant would be open so he can see that God had already dispatched the messengers concerning their situation. I want you to know that the Most High has already sent the angels from all over heaven. The angels have been sent, dispatched on behalf of the believers, those who are truly living for the Lord. They've been sent, and they are more with us than against us. More. And so that ought to be an encouragement to you. That this young man, he looked around and he says, that's an encouraging thing to see, that God had already positioned his messengers. And that's what he says, for he commands his messengers concerning you to guard you in all your ways. So instead of us trying to figure it out with our own intellect on what we're going to do, just know this, when you're praying, it's encouraging. He sent his angels on my behalf already. He's already sent them for me. In Matthew 18, verse 8, it says, see that you do not despise one of the little ones, for I say to you that in the heavens their messengers always see the face of the Father who is in heaven. So he's talking about the angels beholding the face of the Most High. They're angels. The angels of what? The little ones. The children. He says, so if God, he's wanting us to understand, he says, unless we come as children, we're not going to enter in. And his messengers have been sent already for us. So before this whole thing happened, God already knew, and he dispatched the angels for protection over the little ones who always behold the face of Yah. Always. They see his face. And that's important. So in Revelation chapter 5, verse number 1, and I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the backside. That's Ezekiel 2:10, having been sealed with the seven seals. And I saw a strong messenger proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loosen its seal. And no one in the heavens or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. And I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. And one of the elders said to me, do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, came and opened the scroll and to loosen its seven seals. And I looked and saw in the midst of the throne of the four and living creatures, and in the midst of the elders a lamb standing, as having been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of Elohim, sent out unto all the earth. And he came and took the scroll out of the hand, the right hand of him sitting on the throne. And when I took the scroll, the four living creatures and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and a golden bowl filled with the incense, which are the prayers of the set apart ones. What were they holding? The prayers, those who've been dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, they were holding the prayers. These angels, these living creatures were holding the incense, the prayer. So listen, what you do in the secret place, it's not forgotten. What you do in the secret place, he's holding it for us. So I can't emphasize enough or say to you enough, you got to pray, pray, pray. If you don't learn to pray through this, then we have missed the whole thing. And what's going to change us? What is it going to be? Is it going to be too late to change when we're facing real events that happen all over? This is a time to learn. And what we learn is, do we dwell in the secret place? But I read that simply to get to that one verse, which are the prayers of the set apart ones. Those who have been praying in the secret place, he remembers every prayer you prayed. And just because you didn't get it yet, don't mean it's not coming. In verse 9, they sang a renewed song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seal, because you were slain and having redeemed us to Elohim by the blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and made us sovereigns and priests to our Elohim, and we shall reign upon the earth. So we see this wonderful passage. This is not doom and gloom. This is a wonderful thing you read in Revelation of how victorious the saints, the set apart ones, have happened in their life simply because they were willing to get in the secret place of the Most High. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 3, for we walk in the flesh, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not fight according to the flesh. For the weapons we fight with are not fleshly, but mighty in Elohim for overthrowing strongholds, overthrowing reasonings in every high matter that exalts itself against the knowledge of Elohim, taking captive every thought to the obedience to the Messiah, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is complete. So this is one thing that we have to remember. The power of being in the secret place is to give you and I the ability as individuals to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That's what it does. And this is what it's saying here. That's what it does. So you're gonna not only be praying for others that they'll be safe, but you're praying for yourself and you have the power to make sure that you're not letting your mind wander off with the thoughts of uncertainty. The things that come in the dread at night that he talked about, a fear comes on you and you just don't know what to do. This prevents all of that from happening. And that's why it's important for us to make sure that we understand that we don't walk in the flesh and that we don't fight according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but mighty in Elohim to overthrowing strongholds. And let me tell you, this virus could be a stronghold to the United States of America. And if you want to make it more personal, it can be a stronghold in the region you live in. And that's what you hear on the news just yesterday. Louisiana has been talked about more than ever. Now it's becoming us up and rising, more and more cases, more and more cases. And we can talk about what caused it or what that, does that matter? It's there. Right. How do you stop it? You stop it by making sure that we don't walk in the flesh, and the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly. What we have is we have the mind of the Lord, and in our mind we understand what it takes to make sure that this doesn't. So we're ready to do what he asks us to do, overthrowing reason in every high matter that exalts itself against the knowledge of Elohim, taking captive every thought to the obedience to Messiah, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is complete. So how can you complete your obedience if you never go in the secret place? You got to get in the secret place. You got to be willing to go there and cast all your cares on him. John chapter 3, verse 36. He who believes in the Son possesses what? Everlasting life. But he who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of Elohim remains on him. Very important. He who believes in the Son possesses everlasting life. But now we're going to test your belief. Not just saying, I believe. Test your belief. But he who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of Elohim remains on him. So that is important for us to understand. Psalms 91, verse 12. They bear you up in their hands, talking about these messengers, these angels again. They bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Psalms 103, verse 20. Bless Yah, you his messengers, mighty in power, who do his word, listening to the voice of his word. Bless Yah, all you his hosts, you his servants, who do his pleasure. So let me tell you, if Yah dispatches angels on our behalf, they're dispatched. They're going to do the job they've been sent to do, faithfully do that job. And so we need to be encouraged that he has dispatched his messengers on our behalf. Are they not all ministering spirits, which it talks about in Hebrews chapter number 1? And to which of the messengers does he ever say, sit at my right hand until I make your enemy a footstool for your feet? Are they, talking about messengers, angels, not all serving spirits sent out to attend those who are about to inherit deliverance? What are we about to inherit? Deliverance. And they've been sent to minister to us. I mean, thank God. That's encouraging. There's more with us than against us. I don't care how many people is affected by the virus. They're more with us than against us. And our angel, your angel, always beholds the face of Yah. He sees, he's been commanded, and we thank God he's working right now on our behalf. Verse 13 of Psalms 91. You tread upon lion and cobra, a young lion and serpent you trample underfoot. In Luke 10:17, and the 70 returned with joy, saying, Master, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan falling out of heaven as lightning. See, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions over all the powers of the enemy, and none of at all shall hurt you. But do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names have been written in the heavens. And that's important. So remember, what brings rejoicing to us is not the fact that we can win a battle. What we ought to rejoice in is through this whole thing, what it did for me is I got closer to him. I learned to dwell in the secret place, and my name was written in the heavens. Because God, remember that song Pastor Josh sent out? He knows my name. He knows your name. Did your name get written in the book? Psalms 91:14. Because he cleaves to me in love, therefore I delivered him. I set him on high because he has known my name. Again, very important verse. Because he cleaves to me in love, therefore I delivered him. I set him on high because he has known my name. If you love me, John 14:15, if you love me, you shall guard my commands. This is important because he's showing that love. He said, he shall cleave to me in love. He shall cleave to me in love. How do you know that you have this love? Because this love pushes you to the secret place. This love pushes you to obedience. And he says, if you love me, you shall guard my commands. Proverbs 28:9. He who turns away his ear from hearing the Torah, even his prayer is an abomination. Notice that. If we won't listen to the rules and regulations that God set forth for us, then our prayers are not heard. They're abomination to him. But he who loves me shall guard my commands. John 9:31. And we know that Elohim does not hear sinners, but if anyone fears Elohim and does his desires, he hears him. Now think about that. Now, there's a difference between this passage when it says he doesn't hear sinners. He does hear the sinner who does what? Cries out to him in repentance. That's one that he hears. But a person who's supposed to be living for God and continues to sin, those prayers are not heard. So keep that in mind. So getting in a secret place does what? It pushes us to transparency to reveal our hearts, deepest, darkest secrets. Lord, I'm struggling in this area. It's better to open your life up so you can stay in the secret place of the Most High so you can access all the wonderful benefits that have been laid out for us. Verse 15 of Psalms 91. When he calls on me, I will answer him. With him, I am with him in distress. I deliver him and esteem him. And Isaiah 43:1. And now thus said Yah, your creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I am with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, You are not scorched, and a flame does not burn you. For I am Yah your Elohim, the set apart one of Israel, your Savior. I gave Mizraim for your ransom, and Cush and Seba for in your place. So we see that this is a wonderful thing we have here. When he calls on me, I will answer him. I am with him in distress. I delivered him and esteemed him. And so he's saying he's faithful. How many know that the Most High is faithful? He didn't just save you to run out on you to let you deal with the coronavirus all by yourself. The answer is found in the secret place, the place of prayer. If we emphasize that, it's going to change everything about us. Our whole approach will change. And not only that, after it's all over, you're going to be stronger and more vibrant in your walk with God than you've ever been. And it, hopefully it'll teach us a habit that we've long forgotten. And Psalms 91, verse 16, with long life will I satisfy him and show my deliverance. How many want long life? In Isaiah, Job chapter 42, verse 12, and Yah blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, 1,000 female donkeys, and he had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he called the name of the first Yamiam, the name of the second Kitsiah, and the name of the third Karin Hapak. In all the land were found no women so beautiful as the daughters of Job. And their father gave them an inheritance among their brothers. And after this, Job lived 140 years, and he saw his children and his grandchildren for 4 generations. And Job died old and satisfied with days. How many see that? He died old and satisfied. And this is what the scripture says in that last one. With long life will I satisfy him. This is not a time to think, well, it doesn't matter, especially the old people. And that's what's happening. A lot of the reason the older people are succumbing to death, they figure, well, I'm not fighting this thing. Listen, I don't want to go until, he said, with long life I will satisfy him. If he said he will satisfy me with long life, if you want to see your children married, you want to see your grandchildren up to 4 generations, you hang on. That's what you should be praying in a secret place. Yeah. There's no time to quit and give up, so it got hard. Listen, this is an encouragement. The last verse, with long life I will satisfy him and show my deliverance. He can get us out of this situation. Just like we went into it, it seemed like you woke up and it was there. You'll wake up and it'll be gone because he gets us out of it. And at the latter part, Job, through all that he was through, if any time a man could have gave up, he should have gave up when he was going through it. But he knew there were better promises, and he was waiting for those better promises. And Job died old and satisfied. You don't want to just die old. You want to die old and satisfied with days. So you're satisfied with the length of your days. And this should be an encouragement to all of us. So here today, we took some time to go through Psalms 91 just to break it down and look at it together. And my prayer is that it encouraged you just like, and hopefully it encouraged all those that are watching at home right now, those watching live. We appreciate you for coming out to the house of the Lord today, and those who gather yourself on this Shabbat. It's so important that we never forget the principles of God. And so just be encouraged by all the scripture. I know there was a lot of scripture in here, but I don't know no other way to teach something unless you give all the scripture. Give the scripture that is important to it. And there are many more that we could have gave, but we only got so much time. So we want to say again, Shabbat Shalom to everyone. We appreciate you for being here. And so right now we just want to pray for you. Stand. We're going to pray for the things that are going on.